B-Pod Studios.
Gasper and Murray have scorching hot takes, twisting your mind with Pat Celtics and Bates. They'll also talk socks and out-of-town things. Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Final hour of Gasper and Murray here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Here with you until 2. I don't know who's in next. Hey, Rob, turn around. Who's on the schedule after us?
It's McCarthy and Leroy.
Oh,
nice.
Matt McCarthy and Leroy Irvin. I'm sure Matt will be upset and yammering on about the U.S. men being upended by Netherlands 3-1. I know he's been all over this. I will admit,
you're a casual.
I'm a casual pink hat sports fan when it comes to soccer, the U.S. men. But I am into the World Cup. I have been year in, well, every 4 years, four in, four out. Was into it when Italy won in 06, you know, half, because half Italian, all that kind of stuff. And I do, I would like to see the U.S. men at least, I don't know, go a little deep at one point in my lifetime. I don't know if I'm going to ever see them win this damn thing in my lifetime, but can you get a little, you know, past, can you get past the round of 16, please?
Yeah, they have. They made it to the quarterfinals.
And further than that, then, you know, okay. Now that I actually do give a rat's ass. And they lose today, so I'm sure Matt will have more on that. But from now until 2, kind of a hodgepodge of things on both Chris and my mind. We'll obviously circle back to the Patriots, that ugly loss to the Buffalo Bills, not just ugly in terms of the standing, two losses in a row in prime time, Minnesota, obviously, on Thanksgiving night. Now the Bills kind of hurting their playoff chances. They're just ugly, ugly. Like, I don't care if you're bad, but be fun bad. You know, and they were kind of fun bad Thursday night on Thanksgiving. Not this past Thursday, but Thanksgiving. Like, that was kind of a fun bad game. They had an opportunity to win. They let it slip through their fingers. Really don't have an answer for Justin Jefferson, but they're in it. That I can live with. This one, that's just gross. And you know, even when it was only 17-7, Chris, because you were there,
yes,
but it was like you could hear it through the TV. That long drive, the one that really the Bills like ripped the heart out of the Patriots.
94 yards
took just under 9 minutes. But even halfway through it, and I saw people tweeting, I think it was Matt Doloff too, who covers the Pats here for us at 98.5 of Sports. I'm saying, like, it'd be nice if the fans could get up. Why would you? You're just getting bled to death. You know this thing's over. So even like the fans that are there that have paid their hard-earned money, that have been tailgating all day, getting rowdy for this thing, they knew, like, what I'm watching just blows. So what am I going to get up for and get loud and actish and, you know, exert some energy for? They stink. So I'll just sit here and watch this and be miserable. And I don't blame you. Because it's just not like, when you look like that, it just sucks when you're bad, bad. And they were bad, bad Thursday night.
Well, it also sucks when you're bad offensively. And we saw that again. You know, you're looking at 3 of 12 on third down after they were 3 of 10 against Minnesota the week before. You just don't. And the one third down, two of those third down conversions happened on the last drive for the field goal. When, again, to me, Buffalo wasn't really trying. They were in soft zone. There were some backup guys in, particularly up front. So that's two thirds of your third down conversions, if I can say it, came on a drive that was really meaningless. The only third down conversion you had in the first half was Mac Jones on like a third and one plowing ahead for 2 yards. I mean, that's just inept offense. And to me, that was the takeaway from Thursday night. The Marcus Jones play was really neat, but to me, it was a desperate cry for help from an inept offense a dozen games into the season.
Yeah, and an indictment on Tyquan Thornton and their usage of him. Like, you draft this guy in the second round. Many thought it was a little too high for where he got drafted, but he was a speed guy. Speed kills. All right, that Marcus Jones playing with you was neat, but can you draw something up for Tyquan Thornton, who, again, had a great game against Cleveland, right, when Bailey Zappi was in?
Yeah,
but he's now, like, disappeared from this offense. Didn't see the field until the fourth quarter that day on against the Bills on Thursday. So the whole thing's a mess. We'll take your calls on the Pats. You have any leftover thoughts on them, 617-779-0985. You wanted to critique me for my headlines there?
Yeah, you know, I like to critique your headlines because, I'll be honest, I don't feel like the weekend headlines are of the same quality as the ones that you do on Felger and Mass, and I don't think that's an accident. And maybe I take it a little personally.
You don't. You're just trying to bust my balls.
but you know, you did a great job, I thought, on the World Cup.
Yeah.
And but there's something very relevant, I think, that interests a lot of our listeners happening today in the college football world, and you didn't mention it. It wasn't even a check your phone.
What, TCU?
No, no. The FCS Championship.
Oh.
Second round, big game in New England. New Hampshire, coached by Ricky Santos, record-setting quarterback at UNH. He's the coach now, against undefeated Holy Cross. The fight in Shaughnessy's, the fight in Bill Simmons of Holy Cross, who are undefeated this year. They have a playoff game going on as we speak that's in the second quarter. I'll give you the score because Jim won't. Holy Cross is up 7-2. I think this needs,
7-2.
I think this needs to be included in the updates.
Yeah, no. There, I have a hard and fast rule. I have a lot of hard and fast rules actually with the headlines, and one of them is you're not if it's not like real schools, you can F off. If like you got on me a couple of weeks ago, like how come you're not updating Harvard Yale? Because they're Ivy League, and the only people that care about the game, get out of my face with the game on that. I went to the game last Saturday, Michigan Ohio State. That's the game. I'm not going to give you Yale and Harvard because the only people that care about that game are people that went to Yale and Harvard. And those people can go F themselves, including my friend regular Derek. I mean that with all due respect. No one cares about that game. Yale-Harvard. What's the score of Yale-Harvard? You're not getting those. Do you want me to give the MIAA scores too, Chris, while I'm at it in the effing headlines?
No, I'm cool with you not giving those scores, but I'm just saying, I mean, this is a big game. I think the winner of this gets to the winner.
Look
this,
at your phone.
The winner of this gets to the quarterfinals. You were just talking about you want to see, maybe there's some fan out there who says, hey, I want to see Holy Cross make it to the FCS quarterfinals in my lifetime, you know, and they want to know what's going on.
Yeah, well, you can figure it out for yourself. If you actually, if those that care about those stupid schools went to those stupid schools, how about that? Next, you're going to ask me to put BC updates in these updates. That ain't happening.
No, but I mean, this is the play. I'm not asking you like regular season.
It's not real playoffs.
It's the playoffs.
Chris. No.
The teams are playing for a championship.
Pac 12 championship last night. Like that, had I had been on, I'd give you the score of that. That's worth watching. Because
oh, you would? Because yeah. I don't see you giving the Big 12 championship update.
I forgot I was on. I'm busting my balls on this. Like, is this an air check? We're doing a live air check on my headlines. B Rob just said my ear too. He's like, I'm surprised we're not airing those MIAA games. No, we're not saddled with that anymore. Thank God.
Well, we used to get. I just said you off the air. We used to get to stay off because of that.
That's true. Yeah, that was a nice little bonus.
I kind of could have used it after last night. To be totally honest with you, between the Patriots game Thursday night, and I know you had to do post game, and post game is always 3 hours, correct?
Sure is.
Always three, no matter what. Howie cracking that whip.
Flex that game against Vegas out, you cowards. Do it. No one wants to watch those two teams in prime time. They both stink. Flex that game out.
When will you find out?
I think they have until Tuesday to do it. They have until Tuesday. But if you look, the problem is, and people keep asking me, why do you want it up? For me, selfishly. Like, the post game's great and all. It's great working with Joe. I hate the night games, especially when we have four in a row. It screws you up for the whole next day.
He really does.
You're not on the air till two. You don't know. Like, it's exhausting. And to have four in a row, it ain't right. Flex that game out.
Well, again, this is when agendas collide. You want that game flexed out. Yours truly desperately needs that game to stay at 8 o'clock.
Yeah, for like your travel convenience.
Because I am on a red-eye flight Saturday night back from L.A., and I will be doing pregame, and I need that pregame to start at 5:30.
It ain't lining up for yours truly, though, because, again, you look at that slate and what could they possibly put in there. Like Brady and the Bucks against the Bengals. Like, who wants to watch that Bucks team right now? They're god awful.
Their offense, statistically, they've scored fewer points. There's a stat, Stats Inc. keeps, that is offensive points scored. They've scored fewer offensive points this year than the Patriots, believe it or not.
Quick story time. I'm not proud of this, but you think I've say this to like in jest? I'm not. I've said in the past, Jimmy Stewart can tell. I can be terrible to watch a game with.
Oh no, I've experienced.
Yeah, it's not fun. And my poor friends who I traveled with last weekend, we had like a real big sporto weekend, watched the soccer match against England Friday, get rowdy at a bar, then go to the Christmas Story House in Cleveland. That's followed by the game, Michigan-Ohio State and Columbus on Saturday, and then that stupid Brady Bucks game at Cleveland on Sunday. And I saw that game going to hell. I knew it was going to be a loss, especially after that Njoku touchdown on fourth down. They go into overtime after the first of two failed opportunities. In overtime by the Bucks offense. On the first, I got up and I said, well, I'm out in a drunken frenzy. And my poor friend Dana was like, no, man, it's tied. Tries to stop me. I said, get your effing hands off me. I'll see you back at the hotel.
Goodness.
It stormed up. I texted you, Chris. I've left. Texted the
you
wife.
Did,
texted
we were texting about that game.
Yep. Man. Yeah, you know, I can't. I'm not watching this. You insult me. When you insult me as a product, I'm out. I'm out. Like I did game seven against the Blues a couple of years ago. When I know it's over, I'm not watching the body decompose. I know it's dead. I'm out.
You know what's interesting is that within, a five-day stretch, you had both Brady and Belichick have these sort of brain freeze moments in situational football. You know, the Patriots wasted 16 seconds. They had 50 seconds after Ramondre Stevenson went down when they didn't get that second and one, and then 16 seconds ran off the clock. They called a timeout with 34 seconds. Then that last drive for the Bucs, I know Brady's probably thinking Todd Bowles is going to call a timeout, but he should know by now that Todd Bowles is asleep at the switch. He could have called that timeout on his own. They could have gotten into field goal range there.
That game
did not have to go to overtime.
It certainly didn't. And then, you know, you mentioned that final sequence before the end of the half for the Patriots on Thursday. That showed you what a mess this whole thing is offensively. The coaches, Mac Jones, this thing. That's where you're like, this thing screwed up beyond repair, at least for this year. Like, Chris, they literally used two timeouts to gain a yard.
Wow, when you put it like that, geez, I didn't even think of it that way.
Yeah, like that's... That whole thing, and like letting the clock tick, 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 tick. What are you doing? Like, even Al Michaels was like, boy, they let a handful of seconds run off there. No, it was 11 seconds. Like, what are you doing?
So I didn't have a chance to hear the Al Michaels commentary, but from what you and others were posting on social media, I know I've watched these games. We text about it. Al Michaels has had a rough year. He clearly feels this Thursday night football is beneath him. I think he was excited to do this game. And the vibe I got.
Oh, you got boned again.
Yeah, that was the vibe I got. Michaels was like, I can't believe it. This Thursday night football ruins everything, including the Patriots.
Oh, I feel so bad for him. Week in, week out. I really do. The greatest broadcaster of our generation, put out to pasture working for Amazon Prime, sit next to Kirk Herbstreit, who is so in over his head on those broadcasts. I can't. So, yeah, you were there, Chris. Like, they're showing the B-roll. One thing I do love about Al Michaels, you can just tell he, like, gives no Fs now. Like, they show the B-roll, which, for those that don't know, you know, stupid media term, but, like, it's when, you know, you watch a game, they're like, oh, it's beautiful Boston, even though it's, like, 50 miles away. Al Michaels calls that out now. Like, because my friends and I were texting, too, like, it's closer to go to Providence than it is to go to Faneuil Hall. They're showing these shots, right? Al Michaels, as that broadcast went on, he's like, oh, that's just a 40-minute ride away.
He said that?
Oh, it's so
good. Oh, that is great. I love this new Al Michaels.
He's just had it. He's had it. And so at one point, they show Fenway Park because there's going to be some stupid game you probably want to give me have me give an update for that no one cares about that's going to be played there soon between two colleges no one cares about. And so they're talking about it for a few seconds. And Kirk goes, literally, I'm a big baseball fan. And Al goes, oh, so you've been to Fenway? No, I've never been. This is now twice in recent broadcasts where he's like, I'm like, dude, just lie. He said he'd never been to Lambeau. What are you doing?
I know.
Like, and here's the thing. I don't want to pile on him too much because I do think he's really good on the college broadcasts. He has no business doing NFL broadcasts. None.
I don't think he's that bad. I think
he's just a bore, too.
He's just a little too straight-laced. I think Al Michaels is trying to loosen him up. And the other thing is I think he brings that, like, sort of college mentality of, like, these are just kids. I don't really want to criticize them. It's like, no, these are paid professionals. Like, sometimes you need to rip them.
Yeah. Yeah, he's like reading from people's wiki pages too. Like, give me something. Yeah, give me opinion. Oh no, he's 6'4" and he has 13 catches so far this year for 264 yards. Just poor Al Michaels sitting there, like, I've been sent out to pasture by these Zoomers and Generation Z who run at Amazon Prime. I deserve better than this. He's the competence and expertise. It's now like looked at as. With disdain and then celebrated. It kills me. As now an old, it kills me that Al Michaels is saddled having to do these broadcasts. Put him on a real broadcast, on real television. That's where he belongs.
Well, the problem, too, is it's not just, I mean, they're working out some kinks with the broadcast, which you would expect in year one. But the NFL really porked him. His boy Goodell porked him because a lot of these Thursday night matchups have been bad. Remember earlier in the year I sent you the Thursday night magnet
that's
on my fridge with all the games?
Brutal.
Like, there's a Jets-Jaguars game coming up.
Well, that actually might be pretty entertaining now that Trevor Lawrence has finally, like, kind of lived up to his draft status, at least, you know, last
maybe.
Week. Maybe.
Raiders-Rams, you down for that?
Oh, God. Oh, is that another one?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
I think that's the next one.
Poor Al. Just hang it up then. Like, you don't want to have to do this. And by the way, as I'm dumping on that broadcast, why don't you add another talking head to the halftime and postgame? Every time you look up, like, oh, you've added a lineman now that says nothing? Whitworth that was on the Rams last?
He's a super nice guy.
Put in J.P. Lossman, too. Why not? Like, bring in another stiff that has nothing
to
say.
So, I like Fitzpatrick. Sherman sometimes is over the top, although I thought he was good in this one.
But those two say something.
They do
keep
say
them.
Stuff. He's good. Tony Gonzalez.
Oh, stinks.
It's like a mannequin. You could put a mannequin out there.
Carissa Thompson can stay.
Yeah, she can. Yeah, so I happen to walk by their set because Beetle and I have to do the last segment out on the field. Happen to walk by their set out there. Got a nice up close scouting report on Carissa Thompson. She's still bringing it.
Yeah. Yep. Still throwing high.
She still has it. She's not like Tyquan Thornton, a dud.
couple open lines you want to join us. As you can see, we'll be all over the place between now and the end of the hour when you'll be joined by Matt McCarthy and Leroy Irvin here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
This is Gasper and Murray. Gasper and Murray on Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This is Chris Gasper.
I'm not the one who's red-faced and ranting, so who's the baby?
And Big Jim Murray.
Takes in your face, sports.
Gasper and Murray on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Third down snap looming from the Patriot 47-yard line. Again, victory formation. Allen takes the knee, and that's it. The Patriots indeed drop a second straight Thursday night affair. They fall to 6-6. The Buffalo Bills improved to 9-3. They continue their recent dominance of a division rival that once reigned not only over the AFC East, but especially, repeatedly, the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah.
The Pats had won 35 of 40. Buffalo has now won 5 of 6. While the Bills try to continue on an upward trajectory toward the postseason, the Patriots now have 5 games left to try to fight their way into postseason contention.
And I, believe it or not, still think that they could do that. They have no shot at the division. Definitely not now. Because those other three teams, especially the Bills, are better than you. But they could still squeak in it as a wild card spot. It wouldn't be surprising to me if they went to Arizona and Vegas and won those games. But Bills 24, Patriots 10 Thursday night. As far as they are concerned, I'll say it for like the 10th time since Thursday night in the postgame. They're what you used to be, and you're what they used to be. Period. End of story. That whole thing was painful to watch, Chris. I don't know what else to say beyond that.
No, you're right. And I think what was interesting was the way Josh Allen was able to, the same way Brady used to do this, is basically use
just dissection.
Yes. Just dissect you, use your game plan against you, the death by a thousand paper cuts thing. And that was a funny thing. I mean, Josh Allen, you know, great player. The flip was cool and the unbelievable, like, Derek Jeter jump throw touchdown to Gabe Davis. But most of what he did was rather sort of ordinary. It was just taking what the defense was giving him. They ran the ball. James Cook, other than Stephon Diggs, was their leading receiver. He had 6 receptions on 6 targets. It wasn't anything, like, fancy or spectacular. They just said, okay, you want to be in a too-high shell. You're going to dare us to run and dare us to take underneath stuff. We'll just take it. I mean, his longest completion on a conventional throw was 19 yards to Diggs. That was it.
Yeah,
on a
right.
conventional throw. I mean, he had that flip to Hines that went for 21, but he didn't flip it 21 yards, although I'm convinced he could do that if he needed to. But when you look at that, that's sort of the thing that's demoralizing, is it feels like your game plan was built basically to say, like, we just don't want him to get all these big plays and beat us badly. And he's like, okay, I'll accept that. You don't want to get beaten badly. I'll just beat you.
And just as far as the Bills are concerned, like, they are a Super Bowl contender. Do you think they can win it this year?
I don't know. The injury stuff, you know, they had to put Von Miller on IR, so he's going to miss 4 games. I don't think that secondary is great.
No, neither do I.
And that's why I gave the Patriots a puncher's chance in that game. Coming off the Minnesota game, I thought, okay, you know, maybe this is real here. Obviously, Minnesota's pass defense was dreadful. They're now 32nd in the NFL, but some of this should translate.
I mean, they have the corpse of Xavier Rhodes out there.
I know. I mean, that guy's like Mr. Pass Interference, Mr. Holding Penalty. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if they can beat, say, like Cincinnati and Kansas City in the playoffs. I think they can maybe beat one of them, but if that's their road, and that's why I said going into that game, I said this game is actually more important for Buffalo. Because if you're Buffalo, do you want to basically be relegated to just being a wild card, having no home games, and having to go through the playoffs? They needed to keep their division hopes alive, and they had to beat the Patriots to do that.
There's the whole Bills thing, so that, you know, that hovers over them. I don't think that for some reason they'll trip over their own hogs and find a way to screw it up, so I don't think that they'll win it. But I don't even think they're going to lose at Kansas City again. And I actually think they've become a little bit more one-dimensional. Like, it's so Josh Allen-centric now that I know they've run the ball a little bit better in recent weeks, and they definitely did against the Patriots Thursday night. But, you know, he's also part of the running plan. And if he's banged up, like, you got to be careful there, because I think that's kind of a reckless game plan to have him run as much, especially if he's banged up. And guys that were really good for them last year have dropped off. Like, Isaiah McKenzie has kind of, like, disappeared from that offense. And Gabe Davis, when he does catch it, is good. Otherwise, he has frying pans for hands. I don't know if you can trust him. So it's just, like, Allen and Diggs, and that's kind of it. That's what it feels like to me.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. And I also think the defense, despite the gaudy numbers and what they did to the Patriots, I think it's a little smoke and mirrors there. I think better offenses, better quarterbacks, better teams can move the ball against them.
Let's go to Jason in the Cars. We're talking Pats here next year on Gasper Murray. Hey, Jason.
Hey, guys. I love the show. I was just going to say, I feel like that the Pats can't build around, I mean, they had the greatest quarterback of all time. They can't build the team the same way. And I really do think Matt can be a top 10 or 15 quarterback, but you have to get him playmakers. I mean, they're 31 and 32 in efficiency in the last 2 weeks. It just shows, I mean, Cousins getting the ball to Jefferson. I mean, big plays, you know, Allen getting the ball to Diggs. I mean, even on a penalty callback. I mean, you need playmakers in the league. And I just feel like without Brady, with a kind of a solid QB, we really need that.
Yeah, great call and great point. And I totally buy that, and I co-sign that. I thought coming into this year, Jim, that they were sort of expecting Mac Jones to make this leap, and they were basically saying, like, okay, we feel like we can win with any of the top 15 quarterbacks, that quote that I always cite from the Ian O'Connor book, and we're just going to go back to our system. The quarterback will elevate the offense and the talent around him. And it doesn't work that way unless you have an elite quarterback. You know, Brady obviously was special. You need the talent around the quarterback to elevate him, like you said earlier with Tua.
Yeah.
You know, Tua Tagovailoa. We've seen that in Miami.
Seen it with the Eagles, with Hurts.
With Hurts. And they went out and got A.J. Brown. I do think that's something Belichick has to look at and build it different. If there's one sort of myth that's been punctured this year, I would say it's sort of the myth of, like, it's the system, the Patriots system, you know, the system, the system, the system. No, there's a talent element to what they do offensively and what they've done offensively in the past. And when you take Tom Brady out of there, because remember now, when Matt Castle was doing well in 2008, he still had Welker and Moss.
Right.
So that was still like an all-time great offense that he basically walked into. And who did Jimmy Garoppolo, right? Jimmy Garoppolo, when he played those, well, you know, basically, what was it, a game and a half he played? But, I mean, they still had Gronk. They still had, like, a lot of talent is my point. And I think that if you don't have upper echelon talent, you can't expect to build it the same way you did when you had Tom Brady out there.
A couple open lines you want to join us. We'll run through some calls on anything that we've touched on here over the last 2.5 hours. Celtics, the loss last night to the Heat. Patriots, their loss to the Bills on Thursday night.
You got a Bruins take for me as they take on the Avalanche here, the defending Stanley Cup champions? Are you like Maz? You feel like they need to lose?
No. You know what? And we'll expound on that when we get back. We can even mix in a couple of Bruins calls if you like. How about that? 617-779-0985. Back after this on Gasper Murray.
Chris Gasper, Big Jim Murray, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Chris Gasper. Woo-hoo! Jim Murray.
Give me fuel, give me fire.
Give me that which I desire.
It's Gasper and Murray. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right, you wanted a Bruins take from me. I'll give you a Bruins take. As they welcome in the reigning Stanley Cup champion, Colorado Avalanche, to TD Garden tonight. The puck drop at 7. Catch the call here. Judd Zerod, Bob Beers on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It feels like this is NHL ambush.
No, not at all. I'm letting you know. So Maz said a couple of days ago on Felger and Maz, like, they could use a good ass kick, and he doesn't like the home winning streak. I think it's fun. Like, I'm usually, I know, like, you're so negative about everything. Fine, B, that's just my nature. Came out of the womb negative. But I think this is fun. Why not? People are into it. They're legit. They have exceeded my expectations. I thought they were going to stink until, like, January. And not even and be under the playoff line. They have completely exceeded my expectations. I thought sacking Bruce Cassidy was a bad look. Jim Montgomery, like, ooh, because they needed to be these younger millennial and Gen Z athletes need to be talked to nicely. It like offended me as an old grump. Now it's worked. It's all worked. Patrice Bergeron being back, it's worked. Krejci being back, it's all worked. Even have Taylor Hall on the third line, not bitching. Like, how about that? It's essentially a demotion, and he's, you know, reveling in it because he likes being on this team. It's like down is up and up is down. Everything is like crazy with this team right now. It's fun. So I hope that they win tonight and extend this thing. So far, the beginning of the month has not been great for local teams. So just in terms of that feels ominous. You know, the calendar turns to December. Pats lose. Celtics lose. Good luck tonight. Stay all over McKinnon. Stay out of the box. And this month is a marathon for them is the way I look at it. And just looking forward, you know, they have this gauntlet here, and it's just in terms of the scheduling, it is odd because it's Colorado, Vegas, Colorado on the road, Arizona, Vegas. Arizona should be a layup, but it's like there are some tough-ass teams you're going to be facing here, so you're going to learn a little bit more about them. But you know what? I'd rather this happen now where it's like real heavy this month than March, you know, when it feels like they're piling in all those games and they're kind of beat up going to the playoffs, you know? So I'm trying to think longer term here. I said about a month ago, I'm going to enjoy the ride. Until like May when they let me down again. But for now, I'm like, you know, yay, footy pajama bees guy.
Oh, that's good. No, you're enjoying it. It's certainly enjoyable. I guess I have a couple of questions off of that. One, I'm intrigued by those games at the end of the month against the Devils. I've sort of bought into the Devils being for real. It looks like they're legit. They have a lot of young talent there. Lindy Ruff getting the most out of them. The other question I have for you, Linus Allmark, is this for real? Can he
feels
keep
like
this
it.
Up all year long?
He looks like a completely different guy. I thought he was like a Jack Jones, you know, but for his sport at that position, I was like, I don't get it. Like, this guy's just another guy. But he's come out, he's challenged guys. He looks like a different goalie. Like, I think he's been fantastic for them. And I think the last I saw in terms of, I know it's early on, but like, you know, Vezina voting, like he's like fifth or something like that.
Oh, that feels low.
Yeah, that feels way low. But no, I do think what you've seen from him is legitimate.
Because, you know, that's the thing. You can have some of these regular seasons. And look, just ask the people of Toronto. You can have some of these great regular seasons and your team looks pretty strong and you feel good about your team. And then you get into a playoff series. It's a different brand of hockey. Your weaknesses get exposed. And if you are average to below average in net, it can be hard.
All right. With that, I think we've covered quite a bit here today. Even talked about what? It's UNH and who and what stupid game you wanted
yes,
me to mention.
Holy Cross, undefeated Holy Cross. Again, the Holy Cross, which has produced some notable alumni, both good and bad. I'll let you decide who you think is good and who you think is bad as I name some of these people. Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas.
We've spent too much time on this. I was just
Boston
saying,
Globe columnist Dan Shaughnessy.
All right. We'll go
Bill
to Mike
Simmons.
Mike and Woburn on the World Cup. Hello, Mike. Oh, did the call screener just crap the bed? Mike, you there?
Hello.
There you are.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, Mike.
How are you guys doing?
Good.
Hey, just a quick comment on the Bruins and who they're playing tonight. Colorado was a great team last year, but they had an Achilles heel, which was their goaltending. They won with a basically replacement-level goaltender. Like, you could have had the NHL 95, no goaltender, control goaltender in net, and Colorado probably still wins.
That's true.
They still have that hole in net. And they lost Nazem Kadri, who had a historic season for them as their second-line center. Like, that's the thing as a Bruins fan that gives me the most hope, is that any type of juggernaut or, like, sort of dynastic team that they would have run into in the past doesn't seem to exist this season. You know, Tampa, this is their second season having to obey all the NHL rules regarding salary caps and, you know, long-term injury replacement. So they're, you know, we beat them twice. And Colorado, their goalie problem still persists. They've got two guys there, I think Grigoriev and Francouz, who aren't the answer, I don't think. And it's just now they have to outscore people because I don't think they're as deep as they were last year. So we've got that. World Cup. And just last Bruins thought, please. you know, I know everybody's upset about Jack Edwards. Don't hire Kirk Herbstreit to call the Bruins games because he made a pizza comment about freaking Pat Maroon, a guy who, by the way, is listed at 238 on the press releases, and that might be light. Like, I swear to God, where are all these people when Eddie Lacy and his China food tweets, or when Pablo Sandoval's belt exploded? Where were these people when they needed them? You know, World Cup, you know, like, when I remember back in 1994 when we almost beat that Brazilian juggernaut with Bebeto and Romario, that we were ready to break through. If we can't beat the Dutch, like, what are we doing? Like,
the Dutch are pretty good, though. I mean, they're one of the best countries never to win the thing.
Yeah, okay, that's great. Fantastic. We basically can't beat Soccer Buffalo, is what you're saying.
I mean, it's like the current Buffalo Bills. Yeah, if you want to talk about, like, with Josh Allen, and yeah, that's fair.
All right, because I'm, like, honestly, like, I'm sort of done with this whole, like, oh, look at all the guys we've got in the Premier League. Look at all these guys we got playing in Europe. It's the same thing. I watched that Iran game, and for the first, like, half of the game, I was like, wow, all this talk is true, because they dominated that game. And then what happened when they score a goal? They do basically the same thing that every other team does when they score one goal and all they need to do is win. What is it? Pack the bus? Load up the bus?
Park the bus.
And try to choke out the game?
Yeah.
Like, you know, no, sorry. Play the game like you're one of the great, like you want to be one of the great soccer powers, and rough this team out, you know? Like, honestly, like, I just don't see it. And I'm glad that, you know, the World Cup will be here next time, so we don't have to, all the outrage hobbyists don't have to hold their nose as, you know, thousands of people were, like, killed to build the stadium. Like, Chris, I swear to God, if the World Cup was held at the Death Star, people would be like, eh, Overrun was killed to Republicans. It's okay. We can go watch the World Cup, you know.
Thanks, Mike. Good to hear from you.
Good call. To me, just my opinion on this, and I am a more of a soccer fan than you, but I'm far from an expert or far from a Taylor Twellman. But the thing for the U.S., and it's been for a couple of years now, is can you develop a true number nine? Can you develop a striker? They really controlled the play against England in that match that was 0-0, 0-0 as it is. But it's a lack of finish. Like, and it's been that way now for, like, decades. You know, can you have a guy – and it's, I don't think it's a coincidence that, like, the time they went to the quarterfinals – 2002, you know, you had guys that could finish. You know, Landon Donovan was a midfielder, but Clint Dempsey, guys like that. You have to be able to develop, like these other countries do, forwards that can finish at a world-class level on a consistent basis, and they haven't done it.
Just as we have this TCU game on here in the background, you know, you were at the Celtics last night, so I ended up flipping over to the Pac-12 championship.
I watched it afterwards. We watched it afterwards.
That Utah team's fun as hell. I think I kind of fell in love with him and that team and their rock and roll quarterback. That is a tough SOB. But so K-State's up on TCU right now, 14-7. Still, you know, about a minute to go before the half. But it does feel like there's still a lot of upheaval for that fourth spot in the college playoff. And it feels like Ohio State as of right now is backed into this thing.
Yeah, they've backed in, yes.
Eagles.
The fighting Burt Breers.
Yeah, no, I know. Any thoughts on the college playoff expansion? Are you into that?
I know
we're not going to see it until 24, but...
I am into it. I think it's interesting, but I do have some concerns as a college football fan. You know, the great thing about this playoff, the four-team playoff, was that it actually enhanced the regular season. It didn't detract from it.
This will water it down, though.
I'm concerned, yeah, because the great thing about college football and college football's really sort of tentpole product is the regular season. It's that every game feels so important and that it matters. And that when you lose a game, you feel like it's the end of the world. Now, I mean, if you looked at it now, like my team, Florida State, at 9-3 in a 12-team playoff would be sniffing around it. So would LSU at 9-3 going into the SEC championship game today. So you're going to have like three lost teams making the playoffs. I did want expansion. I thought they should have gone to 6 or 8. Or maybe even take the top 10 teams. I think tripling your playoff immediately, going from 4 to 12, is a bit much.
Yeah, that part will be fun, but I do think it will water down the regular season. And I will say that I was lucky enough to go to Ohio State, Michigan last Saturday at the Horseshoe, and that was one of the most fun because the stakes were so high. You know, they're both unbeaten, and that was one of the most fun, intense sporting events I've ever had the opportunity to go to. And then with the way that it turned out, because I went with a Michigan super fan who thought they were going to get blown out. By the time it kicked off, Michigan was a 9.5-point underdog. And obviously, if you watched or you know by now, Michigan basically blew them out in that game, Ohio State. And to see, I think at one point late in that game, they said there was 107,000 and change that showed up for that game. It was like 104,700, something like that. It's one of the biggest events I've been to. And I would say 102,000 of those people were just so miserable. And it was, oh, Chris, and it was the kind of like when walking out, people punching stop signs, yelling about Ryan Day, people hammered, like crying. Oh. Because I was rooting for Michigan by proxy through my friend, and that's one of the best sports schadenfreude misery moments I've got to experience in all my years. It was delicious. Oh, that was great.
Sick individual.
Oh, it was so fun. Oh, these two hammerheads that were a couple of rows in front of us all dressed up in the gear. What did it say on the back of their stupid jerseys? I tweeted it out. They had some, like, dumb nickname that you could tell, like, these guys get together and watch the Ohio State games, and they had, like, a little clan that they call themselves. Oh, those guys were just, we're supposed to be our year. Now, I hate that they backed into the playoff, but at least for that day. Oh, and good. All right, you'll get your ass kicked by Georgia again. But, boy, that's everything that I want. That's what I root for now. Again, so what do I root for now at this point in my life, 45 years in? It's Brady, Celtics, Bruins, and funny. And funny comes with misery, like the misery of others in terms of like the sports schadenfreude, which I have been a fan for years. But that is really ramped up. And that event, Chris, was chef's kiss.
Now, didn't you sort of get your comeuppance the next day, though, with the Brady game?
I don't want to talk about that. But for Saturday, though, stupid poetic justice. I mean, that day couldn't have done more. That weekend couldn't have done more of a 180. Friday fun, Saturday fun, Sunday the worst.
Can I just tell you, and this is the thing, you know, obviously we're Brady Bobos, but the one thing I really see with Brady, and I know people have accused Mac Jones of this as well, he doesn't want to get hit. That game was over. If he hung in there on that second-to-last possession, if he hung in there on the second-down throw to Mike Evans, that game's over because that was a first down. Instead, he turned his shoulders away and back-footed it. If he hangs in there, takes the hit, keeps his shoulders square, and makes that throw, the game's over.
Yeah, he was not good in that game, and it was what he's done at times this year. He doesn't want to get hit.
Does not want to get hit.
He's airmailing guys. It was, I think I texted you, it was all the bad of 2019 on display and watching that game. And it had been a minute since I've been to Cleveland. Fun town, by the way. Underrated. Here's the best thing I can say about it. Clean. And every bill my friends and I got, we were like, they forgot something. No, it's just cheap, which is great and easy on the wallet. But that First Energy Stadium is what they call it now. Yeah. Boy, what a depressing place. And that's why, now that, you know, with the Pats losing Thursday night, Chris, like, they got to get their crap in order. You don't want to become that half-empty stadium, people half into it. Yeah, you know, like we reminded me of like the bad old days of the Pats, like you know when the towards the end when like Pete was here or like pre Bledsoe, what a bad place to be, like a middling franchise that you kind of know deep down is hopeless. We're never going to do crap. The season's already over. It was rainy and what a bad place. What a bad day that was. But Saturday again, great time.
All I can think of with Cleveland is, did you ever watch the show 30 Rock?
Yeah.
Tina Fey, when she's like, they do the whole like Cleveland, and she goes there, and they're like, "Oh my God, you're so beautiful."
Yeah. Oh, even so, we pre-gamed before the Sunday and the game Sunday, and yeah, I mean, they haven't passed like 2003. Like it's still the music stopped. Like they were playing Nelly, like he was just, like a top 40 artist right now. I'm serious. The couple of bars we went to, my friends and I are like, this is like the land that time forgot. Like all the jokes about Cleveland have come true in these two bars. We saw dudes drinking Hypnotic. When's the last time you saw dudes drinking Hypnotic?
Yeah, it's been a while.
Some Hypno throwing it up. Yeah, that got shouted out 20 years ago. So yeah, a lot of that about Cleveland is still true. Why don't we get to five questions for Chris Gasper? We got nothing to do with sports, huh?
I got five questions for Chris Gasper of the Globe. I got five questions. Got nothing to do with sports. I got five questions.
Five. One, two, three, four.
Yeah. I got five questions. I hope this segment ain't too wild.
All right. Why don't we wrap up Gasper Murray here when we're both here and we do the show this long. Question number one, Chris. Did you personally care about the royal visit to Boston this week, yeah?
No, I have to be honest. I'm very big into the show The Crown, but I thought this thing was, like, totally overblown. And then I can't tell. Like, there's some people who are really sort of into the royals. And, like, I get that. That's kind of cool. Like, you're into it. Then I feel like there's, like, the Felgers that just wanted to ogle Kate Middleton. But
yep.
But they're doing it under the guise of, like, I'm interested in this royal visit. No, you're not. You just want to ogle Kate Middleton.
A sneaky creep. Yeah, that's what I did get that vibe. She's quite smashing. Yeah. You know, like, I don't care, whatever. Like, I don't see what the big deal is. I will never bow the knee to the monarchy. Like, we have a president here. Like, get out of here with your stupid monarchy. I don't care about that. It does surprise me how people are so into it, though, especially women. My wife was like, especially the night that they showed up to the Celtics game.
Oh, yeah.
I got a tip earlier in the day from a buddy of mine that works there. They're like, you know, the Royals are going to be in the house tonight. I was like, really? I figured in a box. Nope, right down there by Wick on the floor.
Yep.
And she's like, put it on. We got to see them. Put it on. Like, all right, calm down.
Really?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So that's really interesting, because that thing I did like is it seemed like that, you know, Princess Catherine and Prince William, you know, Prince and Princess of Wales, it seemed like they were like any other couple where he was really into being at this game. And she was like, how much longer do I have to be at this boring event?
Yeah, right. Question number two. What should become of disgraced FTX founder Sam Bankman-Fried, who has allegedly stolen $8 billion from investors?
I think that there should be a hilarious multi-part series done on him that I can stream, just like they did with the founder of WeWork.
I mean, that's coming. You're going to get it on Hulu. You're going to get it on Netflix. There's going to be competing versions of it.
Yes.
Jail him forever. Question number three. What's a food that you think people think is healthy, which actually isn't?
Oh, that's a good question. People think is healthy, but actually isn't. I don't know. Probably some fruit. You know, fruit has a lot of, like, sugar in it.
Like a banana. I think a banana is probably not as healthy as you might think.
That's a good one. Banana's a good one. I would also say orange. A lot of sugar in an orange.
I'll give you the number one answer on this.
Okay.
It's hummus. It's hummus. As someone who has eaten hummus, like, no, it's healthy. After you've pounded a box of Triscuits with it and gone through, like, two vats of it, you're fat. Like, that hummus is... Look, and also look at the caloric intake on hummus. Hummus is not good for you. Oh, it's made of chickpeas. It's good. It's not. A lot of oil in there. Eat a cut. No, Cedars makes it healthy. They don't. Eat enough of it. Boom. You've gone up two pant sizes. Question number four. I saw him on the feed during the commercial break on your appearance via Zoom on Felger and Maz.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I know you love him. You're buying your dog a Christmas gift.
Oh, yeah. In fact, our dog was born on Christmas Eve. So it's
he
gets a birthday and a Christmas gift. So we always try and buy him stuff, little toys, little treats. Yeah, absolutely. I actually saw a thing on Instagram that there was a dog that unfortunately is now deceased, but they used to give the dog a cheeseburger every year on the dog's birthday.
Oh, sounds great. Well, good for him. He should get all the gifts. He's a good boy.
TJ's very good.
Final question. I'm sure you've seen it was all over the internet this week, the ads. Now there's a preview video for it. Chris Gasper, will you go see Cocaine Bear?
No, I don't know about
that. Come on. You don't know about Cocaine Bear?
The only trailers I've watched this week were for the latest Guardians of the Galaxy and the new Transformers Rise of the Beast.
Oh, Jesus. They're making more. Another Transformers movie?
Another Transformers.
So look this up at some point over the weekend. Cocaine Bear is a new movie coming out. I don't know if it's straight to streaming, but I do think it is actually going to theaters. It's based on a true story of a bear who had some coke and just ended up losing his mind. It's based on a true story. There was a package. Like, some drug runners drop their coke in the woods. This black bear finds it, and the bear, like, loses his mind and goes on this whole rampage. And, of course, it's going to be all gussied up Hollywood style.
Okay.
I'm sure the bear is going to... It'll be really campy. But I saw this, and I was like, yeah, I got to see this. I have to see
it. When
you
say, like, went on a rampage, like, you know, start killing people? Or like,
I don't know if it killed people, but it, you know, it... They're going to make it kill people in the movie, and it's going to like almost going to be like a Freddy Jason type of thing, and it's going to be the antagonist. Like, oh, God, it's Cocaine
it's
Bear.
Be, so, like, Cocaine Bear is going to be the new Cujo, pretty much?
Yes. Yeah, yeah. But if they really wanted to lean into it, like, Cocaine Bear, you, like, would go to the clubs, would be really sketchy in the bathroom, come out, "Arr, you want a bump?" Arr, like, make it like, you know, every pain in the ass you've been saddled with.
I think Cocaine Bear would be like, "Do you want a party, Daddy?" You know, I think that's what Cocaine Bear would do.
And a girl Cocaine Bear. "Arr, you want to party with me?" I promise it doesn't have fentanyl in it. I don't know. How can I trust you, Cocaine Bear? Oh, all right. Next thing you know, you're up for 4 hours and you're... Yeah. All right. Well, so concludes Gaspar Murray for this Saturday. Matt McCarthy coming up next with Leroy Irvin. Brian Robb of Mass Live. Continue to read his work covering the Celtics. You're up for some awards, a major award, right?
Sports Writer of the Year. Congratulations to B-Rob. And B-Rob has bragging rights. He can officially say he is the best sports writer on Gaspar and Murray because I wasn't nominated, and he deservedly was.
Take that, Gaspar.
Yes.
Can we stuff the ballot for you, or is that voted on by behalf of your peers?
I'm honestly not sure, and it's probably better that way.
Well, I'm going to stuff that ballot box any opportunity I can get. All right.
Yeah,
that
I agree. Go B-Rob. If one of my Globe colleagues can't win, I want you to win, or I want it to be a tie.
That that does it for us, and I will talk to you Monday with Phil Grimes. Bye.
That's an aberration, which I freely admit.
It's Gaspar and Murray.
I'm drunk. You're gross. Let's go.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
This hour of Gaspar Murray brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Listen all next week for your chance to win a $100 gas gift card courtesy of Valvoline, giving you the gift of travel this holidays.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
WCSB bus from the Town Fairtime Studio.
The corner, fall away three.
Got it!
Boston's home for sports is 98.5, the Sports Hub, the Beasley Media Group station. Sports Hub headlines.
The U.S. eliminated from the World Cup in Qatar today in the round of 16 as the Netherlands exposed.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.